This is the Leapcast, where we talk about how today's current events impact your real life. If you are tired of politics, or you are just exhausted from the spin, this show is for you. My name is Andrew Lieb, and every week I host a talk radio show breaking down the news from an independent point of view. We discuss real estate, business, and your health, hear from the experts, and learn the truth on the Leapcast.
Personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Lieb.
Who's ready for Barbie?
Barbie?
Me.
The Barbie movie's coming out. We got Ryan Gosling, and he's Ken, and he doesn't have his own identity. He's very sad about it. That's what the previews are saying, that he's nothing without Barbie. That.
Well, it's true.
That's what Lauren tells me, but I'm independent.
I'm still
I plead the fifth.
I'm on back onto the Barbie thing. I thought Barbie was gone in like the 90s. So the fact
where
that
you been?
I have a boy
it's
mom.
It's back, Lauren.
It's back.
It's way back.
I just, when you go to the store, you don't see like a million aisles of Barbie. So like, why is it so significant now?
I don't know.
First of all, what stores do you go to? Like, you're an online shopper. Second of all,
you mean Amazon?
When I go down the aisles of Amazon, I do not see Barbie ever.
No, but everything's back, dude. Fallout Boy just saying we didn't start the fire.
So happy about it.
Yeah, although I have to tell you, Fallout Boy, we got problems, you and I. First of all, when you get older and you're a Fallout man, it's going to be really
weird.
You had
a falling out with Fallout Boy.
No, but seriously, like, he didn't do it in order. Like, it's all scattered. Billy Joel's, like, is chronological.
Yeah, it's like a timeline.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like someone should take it and, like, tell
me
all.
Put it in order?
Yeah, put it in order.
Well, I think it's actually pretty apt because everything is chaos.
Everything's chaos? Yeah. Everything's chaos.
I think it speaks to that.
Speaks to the now.
You're actually
deep, actually.
You're actually introducing our topic, Alex. Morty's not here. The Huzz is still in court. He's busy. Cheryl's killing someone on the phone right now. We got scared. We didn't even open
as
her door.
Does.
And Lauren and I are going to visiting day this weekend.
Sleepaway camp visiting day.
But like 6.5 hours away. So we have to, by the time we get there and take breaks, it's going to be like 8 hours. So we're not here tomorrow.
That's no fun.
But Alex's topic is so apropos about the chaos going on. And it all, we could say there's two chaoses. Ready? I'm going to tell you one, but that's not the topic. The first chaos goes to Christopher Wray testifying yesterday. He's the FBI director. Mm-hmm. He testifies yesterday, and they ask him questions about a two-tiered FBI. Is there two different tiers? Like, is there a it's no longer Republican, Democrat, is what I learned, too, Lauren.
Oh, that's where my
freedom versus deep state. That's what we learned.
Oh, okay.
No, that's
deep state.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because Christopher Wray is a Republican appointed by a Republican who prosecuted Republicans.
Right.
So consequently, how could we have a two-tier system? And he said in testimony that there's no special privileges for Hunter. But then what you read is he's a rhino. And I was thinking to myself, and this is not the topic for today.
What do they mean by rhino?
Republican in name only. And
I should have asked. I didn't know what that meant either. No.
Really?
Rhino.
So the wild is there's no dino.
Really? There's no Democratic?
No, like Democrats don't do that.
Liberal equivalent, but like a lino?
I want to tell you what the topic is, and we're going to go back to this because I don't want to miss where we're at. I really want to talk about AI today and how that's really about to make all my TV shows disappear.
Yeah,
and I'm very concerned about...
Allegedly.
Well, you said chaos. It's not allegedly. It's happening. We're at the point right now where we have the writers on strike for going on 72 or 73 days. Mm-hmm. We have the actors joining them. We got a problem going on with TV, and it's about AI. And I want to talk about AI. Sarah Silverman is suing AI. She's suing OpenAI and Meta for copyright infringement. There's all sorts of things because, back to Alex, we're in the era of chaos and we have a big disruptor of chaos. But let's go back to Christopher Wray just so we could, because this is a fundamental issue that I think is problematic. We have two chaoses. This is the story of chaos. Chaos one is that we have a technological disruptor in AI right now and how it's unseating people's jobs. That's one thing that we're going to talk about.
Okay.
But the other thing that's important to talk about is whenever you go with, you're a Republican, be a Republican. Republican?
Sure.
Republican.
Sure.
Republican.
Alex, be an actor.
No, no, okay, it's, I'm no. acting. But like, if let's assume you're a Republican, okay, and let's assume you voted Republican. Let's assume you were appointed by a Republican. Mm-hmm. Let's assume your voting record on education is Republican.
Okay.
Military is Republican.
Right.
Fiscal debt is Republican.
Okay, so I'm not a rhino.
No, you're just 100% I'm not Republican.
Okay.
You're not a rhino.
Mm-hmm. And no social issues.
No social issues. You don't want any transgender crap. You're not into that.
Okay.
You're totally against women the LGBT community.
Women don't care.
Women
rights.
Should be cleaning a house. Like
okay.
you're
laundry.
Okay.
You don't believe.
Right. Alex, you might need to go morning? Home. You might need to go home. You shouldn't be at work.
No, like
do some dishes.
No, but let's assume that you believe that America's failed you because our parents' generation allowed a single income household of a blue collar job. To allow a woman to stay home and raise the kids. And let's assume that's all you like, ready? Let's just go with that. Let's
okay.
let's
I'm going with
let's
you.
Say for a second.
I don't want to work. That sounds lovely.
But let's say for a second. Right. No, I just
that's nothing to do with
people. I'm gonna tell you okay. the chaos number one.
Okay,
is we have Cheney, Liz Cheney. Mm-hmm. Okay. Liz Cheney can't get any more Republican on a voting record. Like, let's be Liz Cheney. Like okay. it's impossible.
I'm putting on my pearls.
No, but I'm telling you, it is impossible.
I want to be Jenny Thomas.
Well, but let's. I have a purpose.
Okay.
So, do you agree with me, Alex? From and you are a Democrat, right?
Well.
Or you're independent.
I'm a free thinker.
You're a free thinker. Mm-hmm. But can we agree, as someone who you are, a free thinker, mm-hmm. that Liz Cheney has the most Republican of Republican voting records that you can have?
Yeah.
I'll, she's in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
There might be one person that voted slightly more Republican than her, but she was number three in House in the Republicans. Do we agree with that? She's pretty yes. Republican.
Yes. She's no rhino.
Well, she is a rhino. That's the point that I'm trying to make.
Oh,
the
okay.
second she did January 6th, everyone in the MAGA world thinks she's a rhino. Christopher Wray testifies yesterday before Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Jordan's is there. We got the Republicans' opportunity to talk
to
him. He explains that he was appointed by Trump. Mm-hmm. He explains the FBI investigating different people.
Mm-hmm.
He explains that three different AGs, attorneys general, that were appointed by Republicans prosecuted all of Trump's orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Republican on Republican.
Yeah.
Hence
I'm
not
hearing the word Republican a lot of times.
Yeah, hence not a two-tiered system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go on social media today, all you see is Christopher Wray is a rhino. He's a Democrat. He's fake. He's not actually that. He's not one that we can trust. And one of the fundamental problems, and I'm not against Republicans. I want you to know, and I'm not for Democrats. What I'm against is anyone who says anything that goes against what the Republican MAGA movement says is suddenly labeled as a non-Republican, a Republican in name only,
right.
because there's nothing not Republican about Christopher Wray.
Right.
There's nothing not Republican about Liz Cheney. Like, the problem with the Republican Party today is that any divergent view on any issue, even if it's fringe, makes you to be cast aside as you're against the team. You're no longer on the team. Like, people come up to me like, I have a big problem. And they, like, someone was on our thing and says that I'm not really an independent.
That the person that wrote the five-page letter?
Yeah, I got a five-page letter of that. I donate to Biden. I've never donated to anyone, just to put that out there.
You're a liar. You donate to Biden.
I've only donated to nonprofits before that were helping disadvantaged communities. I've never. I want
what
you.
A plug. Well,
no, it's true. I have.
For your morality.
Andrew, you're just a
well,
terrible
morality.
Person.
Like, I work.
You're donating to people who have disabilities.
Well, no, I didn't say disabilities. Okay. I worked. I was on Colonial Youth Board, which was a nonprofit that was helping out people in the William Floyd School District that were disadvantaged communities, like
respect.
Whether it's food subsidies yeah. or otherwise. I was mm-hmm. also I worked for LGBT Network when it was called legally for helping children that were more suicidal because
yeah.
of the LGBT. Anyway,
yeah.
I'm fine with helping those causes. I've never and don't plan on ever voting. I mean, donating to a politician, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't believe anyone should donate to a politician.
Okay.
I think we should overturn Citizens United and not allow them to have money. I think they should have no money whatsoever.
Yeah.
We should give them a budget. You get $1 million. You spend $1,000,001, you go to jail. You both get $1 million. That's the whole thing.
Like, I think I like it. First impression.
That's maybe I'm off on the number. Maybe it's 100,000. Maybe it's 10 million. I don't care. The
yeah.
government gives you the money.
Yeah.
No donations. I'm against it.
What
but
about the media spend on this?
I don't think you get any money on the media spend.
So you can't go on television. No, you can. You can't have commercials.
You can go on television when there's a debate. Yeah. They should have official debates. We should have. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. Okay. What I want to get into, and this the chaos that we're talking about, is any dissenting voice in the Republican Party is no longer a Republican.
They're deep state. Is that how it works? Oh, okay.
They're part of the establishment, the deep state. They're not just, they're a Republican in name only. We
and
want freedom.
Explain what the deep state is.
Well, you explain what the
deep
state is.
No, I'm asking you to explain it.
In the sense of the word that Alex just used?
Yeah, when people are really upset about the deep state.
So what they think is, it's an establishment statement, Lauren. It's saying that people, and I didn't research this because I didn't know you were going to ask me this question. I didn't know we were playing 20 questions right now. But you didn't get me.
Andrew doesn't know the technical term for it.
Well,
everything.
I know what the answer is. I just don't want to be misquoting. So the answer is it's the establishment that's been running Washington for years and years and years. And they like to say it's the bureaucrats in Washington and all the people that are pulling the strings and levers of power. Like the example would be, even though the Clintons are no longer in office, they're part of the deep state and the deep state controls everything.
They're puppeteers.
Right. It's like political corruption.
Political
The established structures are corrupt.
By the political class. And one of Trump's things when he was running for office was to clear the swamp. The swamp was referring to the deep state.
Right.
The deep state, if you watch things like Blacklist, you watch Blacklist?
Yeah.
The cabal. The cabal is the deep state.
Like it's like a boogeyman.
It's the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And but they're all anyone who's in establishment. So basically, here's the way the deep state works, from the way I look at it. There's people that have worked their life to get to positions of power and positions of importance based on education, based on working towards it, based on apprenticeship, based on going up the ladder.
Right.
And they get to this position of power. And some of them don't make it to power. Some are middle management, some are lower management, but they work towards it. And they have a legitimacy to be there. And the people on the outside that are not in there, whether they're firemen, or they're bus drivers, or they're landscapers, or they work at a store or a gas station. They think those people that tell them what to do and do things must be corrupt. Because the only reason you would do that is to be corrupt and to be able to be in it for yourself. And there's things that they don't understand. And whenever they don't understand it, these are the people on the outside, the people that love freedom. Mm-hmm. It must be the system trying to control me. And to their defense, there's people there that are corrupt.
Yeah, I was going to say that. There is corruption.
There's corruption.
Yeah.
But the percentage of corruption, they make it like it's 90% of the whole when it's less than 9% of the whole. I'm not saying it's 9 or 90, but they make it like all of government is corrupt.
Like all of media is corrupt.
Like I'm reading a book right now that I was telling Alex about earlier. And it's about, I think it's called Listening to Strangers. Is that what it's called?
Thinking.
Listening. Hold on. I'll tell you exactly what it's called.
It's Malcolm Gladwell.
It's Malcolm Gladwell. I use Libby, which is that free library app. And I think it's great. You can get every book on tape. Talking to Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell. Mm-hmm. And the whole concept is that we have a truth default when we're talking to people. And it's hard to detect liars and manipulators because as society, we have a truth default. And the question becomes, he posits, is would it be better if we had a lying default?
Right.
And his point is no, because nothing would move forward in society. No one would get anything done.
Oh, I have a good analogy.
Tell me.
Think about what it feels like to be in a relationship with someone who has trust issues.
Okay.
Like how much discord that can cause, right? And it's not coming from you. You didn't do anything wrong, but your partner has trust issues.
They just assume that you're always lying.
That relationship's not going to be healthy because that person's always going to see in your behavior something to be suspicious about. So if that's how we're operating as a society, that seems chaotic.
Sounds right to me.
To your point, the people that have trust issues are the people that love freedom. Mm-hmm. That are this fringe part of the MAGA movement that believe the deep state is the person we're supposed to trust. I'm giving you the full analogy.
Yeah.
And the deep state is the people that we see as wrong. So you have two choices. Is your glass half full or glass half empty? That's how we look at everything. Mm-hmm. Are you into, as Obama would say, hope?
Yeah.
Or are you into what Trump would tell us that, like if you listen to Trump and you listen to him speak and everything is terrible. The worst.
Let's make it great again.
And so the question is, but make it great again right. implies that it's terrible now that we have to make it great because right. if it is great now.
Right.
And so
it's like gaslighting almost too.
Yeah. But it's just who you are. Do you believe in one or the other? Mm-hmm. And Malcolm Gladwell's book fortunately shows that most people are into trusting truth. And if you spent all your energy trying to stop people from getting you, then you would never have any energy to get anything done. Like, that's what the whole book is about. Like, if I spent all my day being like, are you lying to me? Are you lying to me? Are you lying to me?
That's
are
exhausting.
You lying to me?
Yeah.
Well, then you'd have no energy. Like, imagine you go to the gas station. Mm-hmm. They pump your gas. And you say to yourself, I wonder if they gave me as many gallons as it says over here. I got to go check the gallons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what these people are saying. And so to your question about the deep state, the concept is that the whole world, and I'll tell you where deep state comes from in my mind. I'm not a psychologist, but I think about it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that when you don't understand something and it's powerful and you're weak, and I'm not saying you're a weak person. Don't take that the wrong way. I mean, like, you don't control the tax code. These people do.
Right.
You don't control EPA. These people do. Mm-hmm. You don't control science. These people do.
Right.
So they have power. You don't have power.
Mm-hmm.
So in a power differential, you're weaker. They're stronger.
Yeah.
And then you put on top of that that you don't understand the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say things to you. They must be doing it to be corrupt, because the only way to help self-worth yourself is to diminish them, because to acknowledge they're more powerful and more knowledgeable about the topic is to admit that you're weaker and
sounds
worse
like
at
a
the
bully.
Topic.
Well, but it's always been like that. So my question then is, why is it worse now? You know, where do the trust
social media.
Issues
social
come
media.
From?
Because
social
they
media.
Keep on reading more people
well,
saying
it's not
that.
They. There's a few things. There's two things on that. I want to address that. Number one thing is emboldenment, and number two is access to information.
Yeah.
So let's talk about both separately. Emboldenment, when it comes to social media, is like we're doing this podcast. What's our barrier to entry to do the podcast? We could just go
right.
do the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it turns out that we have a media following, and I had a radio show, and like we do these things, and some people just do it out of their basement, but some people that do it out of their basement have more listeners than us.
It's
like,
true. Yeah.
it happens. There's a low, and then you could be a weekend warrior on your keyboard from mama's basement and type whatever you want.
Right.
That's one thing. That's emboldenment. And the other thing is access to information. And there's tons of information there. And the problem, as you and I have spoken about on the Leapcast many times, Lauren, is that people aren't trained for critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not trained to be able to distinguish between reliable information and non-reliable information.
Right. But they've also been disempowered in a sense, because we've been told to trust these institutions who are supposed to be doing right by us. We like outsource our power to them, and they must be feeling like they're not doing the right thing.
Well, I'll
they
give
have
you an example.
That.
I'll give you an example. And I think you're right, but I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine, a good friend of mine, I'm supposed to go fishing with him tonight. My therapist tells me that maybe I shouldn't, but we're
we
still
all
on
have
the fence.
A friend like that.
And so he was very.
The question is he going to listen to this before you go
he
fishing?
He could listen all he wants.
Canceled.
I like him. I like him. He's this guy, though, so I'm going to tell you what his problem is.
Mm-hmm. Let's call him Guy.
I'll call him Mike because that's his fucking name. So I don't care. So the thing is that he came at me after I was in Newsweek saying that it's like the emperor has new clothes when we deal with Hunter Biden, that there's never actually any evidence. We always hear there's going to be evidence. Where's the evidence?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's your job to disprove that there's evidence, blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, I'm not an investigative reporter. I'm a legal analyst. Two different jobs. Doesn't matter. I don't do one. Anyway, I'm just giving background.
Mm-hmm.
And then a day later, I sent him the Department of Justice press release that the whistleblower he was referring to was actually a Chinese agent, and he was just indicted that day.
Whoa.
So I sent it to him. I said, I don't really care, but
well,
I thought—
he asked you to debunk it.
But I didn't do it on the social media where he was having a public forum with other people talking smack to me. I just texted it to him privately because I thought he wanted to know.
Because you have a fiduciary duty to
no,
him
because
to
he's been my friend.
Him?
No, because he's been my friend.
I love it. You're feeling sassy today.
Because he's been a friend of mine for a long time, and he asked. So I said, I saw it.
Yeah.
I gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
He writes back to me. I'm paraphrasing. This is old news.
Mm-hmm.
He writes back to me. We all knew about this. And I said, it's dated today from the Department of Justice's website that they just indicted him today.
So the fundamental issue is that does he not believe that that is news?
Well, let me finish. And then he says to me, no, this is just this author writing about it. I said, this author is the Department of Justice website. Right, like, right. It is what it is. And he goes, if you listen to Megyn Kelly, you would know this for a long time.
Oh, okay. Because Megyn Kelly knows more than the Department of Justice.
No, my point is this. We talked about emboldenment and access to information. Mm-hmm. I said on access for information, the difference is the critical thinking ability to know the difference between facts and non-facts. And so he doesn't understand. He didn't go to a social science program in college where you would understand about how different information works.
Yeah.
And the Department of Justice press release on their indictment is their secondary information based on their primary information, which would be the indictment. Mm-hmm. Megyn Kelly's tertiary information based on their secondary information, which is primary information, the indictment being the primary information source, right. If you follow what I'm saying. He didn't let me just finish the sentence, okay. And you can say whatever you want. My point being that he gives more credence to Megyn Kelly because he likes Megyn Kelly and trusts Megyn Kelly
right.
than mm-hmm. he does to the Department of Justice, who has the primary information, who filed the primary information. And I'm not telling him that, just to be clear, I didn't care if the whistleblower was right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm more than happy for Biden to go to jail. Yeah. I could care less. If he'd committed a crime, I hope it's good. I wasn't trying to debunk anything. He just asked me for info. So I showed him the deal. So the point that I'm trying to make is we have a fundamental issue in society, chaos, where Megyn Kelly's TV show gets more credence than a press release on the Department of Justice's website when the press release is telling us that the Department of Justice themselves did something that day.
Yeah.
And somehow the stronger piece of information is a news commentator who's paid, by the way, for entertainment purposes. She's an entertainment person.
Because Fox News is an entertainment channel.
No, that's not necessarily true. Okay. There's both. There's entertainment hosts and news hosts. There's different There's different people on all these channels.
But don't they both have commercials and sponsors?
They do. Okay. But there's a difference. There's like Brett Baer is on the news side. You have to look at who's on which, like they're different sides of the channels and on all these channels. Like in defense, Rachel Maddow is on the entertainment side of the channels. Mm-hmm. She's not a news person on the I'm just giving you both sides.
Yeah,
like
no,
there's news people and then there's entertainment analysis. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like so there's certain people that just give you the news. But setting that aside, even a news person shouldn't be what you're listening to I'm not saying not to listen to them, but if you're faced with two things, a press release from the Department of Justice's website versus a news person talking about the press release from the Department of Justice's website, and they conflict.
Yeah.
I promise you the DOJ's website is right.
Well, but that speaks to the depth of mistrust.
I was going to say, Andrew's saying a lot of words about primary, and I'm not sure that primary is an important word
to agree
a lot
with that.
Of people.
Yeah, but I agree with that.
I know what you're saying, yeah.
But the word primary, just the way I'm using it, it's a term of art. But I'll tell you what it means.
A term of art. You have to say it like that.
I do. But I'll tell you what it means.
You're such an elite.
No, what I'll tell you is, a primary source means where did it come from? The origination, the start of it all. So a primary.
So should people give weight to different sources?
Can I just answer your first question before you go to the second one? A primary source would be the baseball player that hit the home run knows that the baseball player hit the home run. Mm-hmm. There's no more primary source. Like if you were going to ask me whether so-and-so hit a home run or ask the baseball player that hit the home run whether he hit the home run. Mm-hmm. He hit the home run. He was fucking there.
So somebody sitting in the last row wouldn't be primary.
Well, they'd still be primary because they'd be there. Do you agree?
Yeah. I think that we assume that when we're watching the news that
that's
it
primary.
Comes from a primary. Like a layperson is going to think that they're getting their information from a primary source. So you put your trust in the media.
And I'm not against the trust of the media. I want to put that out there. It's just that the media is not primary. Like the media is reporting on primary
it's
sources.
It's like 1 degree or more removed from the primary source.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
It's removed.
For sure.
It might be 1 degree. It might be 2 degrees.
Yeah.
But it's not like telling me that ESPN, Lauren, which is actually the example, said so-and-so hit a home run that day is a secondary source. Mm-hmm. Telling me that I was there and I saw the home run, that's a primary source. I'm just giving you a difference.
But if I don't trust you as the primary source and I think you're shady.
Yes. Yep. I agree with that.
Yeah. Then I might just look somewhere else and use my instincts because that's the only thing that's left to me.
Which instincts. Which I agree with, Alex, and I think you're on to exactly what's going on. And I think that if you're going to analyze whether this person, just to be clear, that was the whistleblower, is actually a Chinese agent, instincts are very good. Mm-hmm. And I think that we don't have a conviction, so instincts are actually appropriate. That all said, whether he was charged that day is a matter of uncontrovertible fact. There's no way to dispute that that happened that day. I wasn't saying that he's a Chinese agent. That is something that your instinct should say. Maybe the Democrats are trying to frame him as an agent to undermine the investigation. I'm not telling you I don't know that's true or false.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I would give more weight to the DOJ to this conversation than to my instincts, but that goes to this entire conversation. I'm willing to have that conversation.
Yeah. But as an analyst, which you are, you analyze primary sources.
Well, I analyze primary sources, and then I also read other people's secondary and tertiary sources because I like to anticipate what everyone else's takes are on things. Mm-hmm. And then I go back to the primary source to go over, but we're on into the weeds. What I really want to be talking about right now, and I'm going to just bring it right back to
it
one more time.
Yeah,
well, I think it's important, is that there's debates on facts that we should not be having anymore. Like, we should not be having a conversation whether the world is round or not. Like, we know the world is round.
Well, there are tons of flat earthers.
I know.
Disagree.
I got that point.
Like, but tons, like conventions worth.
I got it. But my point being, again, on this one, assuming a Republican comes out and says, this guy was charged. You shouldn't call him a rhino because he says that. Now, you may call him a rhino. I'm fine with you calling him a rhino if he says we should 100% trust the FBI and he is 100% a Chinese agent and he should go to jail for life because that's the facts. Mm. That is being a rhino because it's fine to say he's charged with being a Chinese agent.
Right.
And this we'll see what the
conclusions
you
and
got
assumptions
it.
And
that's all I'm trying to say here. And so when I analyze things, people got on me because I said Trump is screwed. And I didn't say he's screwed because he did everything. I said he's screwed because, first of all, they have recordings of him admitting it, audio recordings of him admitting it, and because I did statistics.
Yeah, whatever, and you're a rhino.
Well, you're getting charged with 37 different charges that could be hundreds of years in jail and then more charges than another.
I was
just saying, like, the odds that he gets out of that. Like, let's imagine, for example, you have a house and let's assume you have a pipe leak. I think you could probably handle that. Maybe it's an easy fix. Yeah. Now you also have a roof leak. You could probably handle that. That's a tough fix.
If there's a tornado, it's coming.
There's actually a tornado coming, and we're afraid the trees are going to come down. That's a tight spot, but I think you can handle it. Now one of your toilets backs up.
Right.
I think you could handle it, but that at some
what,
point—
What, the ceiling just caved in?
At some point, there's a pendulum swing, and all I'm trying to say is I don't think you're a rhino for acknowledging the fact that we're past a point of inflection. That's what they call it, where it goes beyond a point where even if you were able to crawl out of 90% of these issues, the odds are you're screwed.
Objectively.
So I need to say that, and then I need to say we have chaos, and we're going to go over our normal 30 minutes today because we didn't get to the topic that I really want to talk about, and I'm not going to go off without doing it. The secondary topic is AI. Mm-hmm. So there's two topics. Right now there's chaos going on. Mm-hmm. One is that in Democratic world, you could be against the mass of Democrats, like a Manchin, a Sinema, and you could still be a Democrat. Like, you may not be a popular Democrat. Mm-hmm. There might be flack for you, but you're still a Democrat. There's outlier voices that say things.
Pluralism.
Yeah, and they say things.
American values.
And I'm not saying that the mainstream Democrats are right, and they're often wrong. But there's voices, and you could say things that disagree and not be cast aside and immediately shunned from the party.
Right.
The problem that I have with the Republican side, this is the main thing that would make me more likely to vote Democrat than Republican side, is that if you say anything that's not in line with what you're supposed to do, no original thought, you are automatically a rhino and castrated to the side of the aisle. Like, Elizabeth Cheney, Liz Cheney, is a fucking Republican. And I know you don't like when I curse, Lauren, but it gets me so angry. I'm so angry. I'm going to tell you what happens. Ready? I'm going to tell you guys what's going on right now because Lauren's giving me eyes the whole time about
bad like
things.
Bad words.
Well, no, it's not even that. She's lying to you. I'm going to tell you what it is, right? So she thinks that I talk too fast in too deep conversations, too technical stuff, and she also tells
slow
me.
Slow down.
She also tells me that I shouldn't curse. And there's an article that says, is DeSantis just not dumb enough for Republicans? The perils of a true believing conservative intellectual in a Trumpy party.
Trumpy.
Trumpy. Trumpy was, he was a bear.
But I think that's the problem, that I want to see a rhino party emerge. Mm. Like, right. Let's embrace
start your own
this.
Party.
No, like, let's be Republicans in name only. Like,
is that the Lincoln part, the Lincoln Project?
That's what they're going for. But I think that they should be called the rhinos. Okay. Like, let's turn this term around. Like, whenever you watch rappers, they use the N-word. They've owned the word.
Oh, I see.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it's become their word. Like, anyone who votes Republican,
right,
who likes Republican, that wants to, like, I don't know, say that a fact happened. And doesn't want to, like, Christopher Wray is not a rhino because he's testifying that he didn't give special treatment to Hunter Biden.
Yeah, they need to reclaim the word rhino.
That's what I'm saying.
They need to make it cool.
They got to make it cool. And they have an opportunity. And the opportunity goes to our second topic, mm-hmm, is that we're on these strikes. We got the WGA strike, which is the writers. Their last strike, 2007. They're striking now. This has affected late night TV already. This has affected what's going on all shows. And guess what? SAG just joined in. They're joining in this bad boy. And people are talking about, it's about residuals, about money from streaming. People are talking about that, about wage and hours. And yeah, that's all true. But the key interesting part of it is they want protection, creating chaos for everything, Lauren. Mm-hmm. They want protection.
The writers.
The writers and the actors.
In entertainment.
They want protection in their contract because they have a contract, Lauren, in case you don't know. The Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, which represents companies like Amazon, Apple, CBS, Disney, NBC Universal, Netflix, Paramount Global, Sony, Warner Brothers, Discovery.
Pretty much every entertainment network has contracts with writers.
No, that's not what I said. No. What I said to you is that all these entertainment networks are part of the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, mm-hmm, and they have what's called a collective bargaining agreement, which is a contract with both the WGA, which is the writers, and SAG, which SAG is SAG AFTRA, which is the actors. The actors union has 160,000 members, and we think about people like Richard Gere, but it's not. Yeah, see, but it's were you?
You were.
So it's not about the actors that are making the multi millions. How many people, Alex, or someone that was in SAG, are not making money in SAG?
Many.
But the
you
majority.
Could be an extra. You could be auditioning for mm-hmm years. You could have had one role with one line.
Yeah, and I feel like those are the people who this strike is really for.
And those are the people
who
need it.
Well, yes and no. So I think it's for them when it comes to residuals. It comes to healthcare benefits and pension. Mm-hmm. It's for actually the prime actors when it comes to artificial intelligence.
Yeah, right, right.
And artificial intelligence, just so you know, let's assume that you work for the Teamster. Well, that's a bad example. Let's assume that you're in a local union of contractors, okay? Mm-hmm. And you wanted to fight artificial intelligence. And you go, well, artificial intelligence, guess what? Robotics is artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. Like, when they make a robot plumber, you'll see how much that changes everything, and they will.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence may not be protected under the National Labor Relations Board. So basically, a union has a right to strike under the National Labor Relations Act. And if they strike, they can't lose their job. Mm-hmm. They're allowed to strike about things like, I don't know, wages, hours, mm-hmm, terms and conditions of employment. But is artificial intelligence replacing part of your job, a term and condition of employment? It's very unclear.
Yeah.
So this strike.
It's hypothetical, isn't it?
What?
It's very hypothetical.
Well, I don't know. They haven't ruled yet.
In the future, if AI is going to replace actors, right? Unless it's already happening.
It's already happening.
It's already happening. AI is already writing shows.
Writing shows. Yeah. But is it acting?
It is.
Okay.
So there's places they're using them as actors too, but that's not why. It's because a court hasn't ruled yet whether a replacement technology is a term and condition of employment. And but my point that I'm trying to make, and we'll go back to that, please bring that up again. I don't want to lose that, is that if you're a local union, you strike, it's possible that your job can just be replaced if you're striking on something that's not a term and condition of employment or with respect to hours or wages. You're only protected if it's on these categories.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is that no one can replace top actors.
Right.
So they're not going to fire them.
Yeah.
So what's interesting is all workers that are not in SAG should be paying attention to this, because SAG has a lot more leverage to not lose their jobs in striking without the protections of federal law. Like federal law, National Labor Relations Act, gives unions protections, gives them power. And certain miners need power. Otherwise, they have no power. We'll replace you with new miners.
Right.
But you're not going to go do that with top Hollywood. Like Brad Pitt's not getting replaced.
Right.
And so like when there's people, and so it really matters that they're the ones taking on this fight, because if anyone else took out this fight, they would just get rid of them.
Right.
Because
they're replaceable. They're expendable.
They're expendable and you're allowed to.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, there's no case that says that's a and I don't think there's going to be. And so then the question becomes, and this is what I wanted to talk about, chaos. AI is changing our world right now so fast. Like I did Fox 5 last night on AI, and I think that like this is a 3-year contract they're talking about right now, these SAG people. And they want protections from AI cloning them basically and having like – it's already affecting writers, but the actors don't want to be like, wow, that's a new Mission Impossible and that's not Tom Cruise. That's fake Tom Cruise.
Right, yeah.
And that's a concern. But – aren't they just putting off the inevitable? That's kind of what I want to put out there. Like at the end of the day, like, yeah, maybe they won't. They'll get a term in the contract now.
Yeah.
But the only thing that's really going to stop Tom Cruise from being AI Tom Cruise is legislation that gives Tom Cruise rights to be able to sue for AI Tom Cruise.
Right. Yeah.
But for that, like no term of a negotiation is going to do it. So, yes, this is important and people want to know why the strike isn't happening. But it really comes back to this whole thing when we get into Congress.
Yeah.
Any Republican who doesn't go with the Republican line is a rhino. So how can they get anything done? And we need fast moving legislation where we have Democrats in control of the Senate. And by the way, even though it's 51 people, you're still seeing our VP doing the deciding vote because we got issues with Fetterman. We got issues with the California 300-year-old Senator Feinstein. and so my point being that it's so divided there. And what we really need is concrete legislation. And I think, I guess the point takeaway is on this. AI is changing the work world. It's changing right now in writing. And potentially acting and movies and stuff like that.
Photography, yep.
What'd you say?
Photography. Like, I'm just thinking of all the different things it's going to...
Like, what else?
The law.
The law is changing. It's changing.
Like how we decide cases.
Accountants. They, I don't
Teachers.
Know if you, I don't know if you saw ChatGPT just came out with a way that they're now going to have good numbers and good math. And they're going to be able to do charts and analysis for finance.
Right. And Harvard has its first AI professor.
And so it's changing the world. It's changed. AI is changing the world. And I got news for the WGA and SAG. Your collective bargaining agreement's not going to stop that. You're being a traditional conservative stopping progress. I get that part, which is interesting that the Republicans aren't taking up the fact that it's conservatism to stop AI's emergence, because that's how you stay and make America great again. Because if we had AI in the future, it'd be a new America, but that's a different story for a different day. All right. So anyway, back to where
anyway.
I'm just putting that one out there.
Riff.
A little riff. But back to it's the point is, and I think that we need to emphasize this, that right now we need to change two fundamental things. And I don't think the writers or the actors are going to do it. They're just highlighting an issue. This strike to me isn't about the collective bargaining agreement, although it should be, and it's fundamentally at its core about it. It's about the need to get our Congress to stop saying we're not going to give a promotion to a military person, Tuberville, just because we're trying to get something as a political point to show that I'm a good Republican. Like, let's instead say to each other, you're a Republican because you vote Republican, even if there's times when you disagree with your party. And let's not say that you have to be 100% in a tribe to be part of the tribe. Where's some free thinking and original thought? And maybe we should learn that everyone's not the deep state and the boogeyman's not trying to get you. Maybe what we need to realize right now is it's not the writers, and Brad Pitt doesn't need your help.
What's that? A little bit. He's not so big anymore.
Do you know how many millions of dollars he has? Imagine.
He doesn't need to be big.
No.
Yeah, he's good.
Have you seen the there's like an Instagram post of him aging from like 1995 till now, and it's like
Benjamin Button.
Yes, he's quite attractive.
True dat.
True dat.
Barbie doesn't need your help anymore. And I tell you, Ryan Gosling's doing just fine.
Yeah.
And my point being that a lot of these, not the people that were in SAG like you were, these big stars, they're going to be fine either way. But we need to look at this as an opportunity that we do need regulation in AI, or we need to accept as a country that our job and our market's about to shift. And I don't know that's necessarily a bad thing.
It's happening. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we do need to put things in place that controls how it happens and that protects people from, you know,
in an orderly manner.
Bad consequences.
And so your socialistic concept. But the fact I want to say
I'm a rhino.
There you go. Rhino. So that's what we should call you from now on. But my point going forward is that I think that to your point, we're going off a cliff. That's what's happening right now. Things are about to change. And we can either do it as a runway or as a cliff. That's the real two choices. That's the best way to look at it. And the actors are trying to say, we want it to be a runway, not a cliff.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, that's great. Maybe they'll get their three-year contract that protects them in this way. But at the end of the day, what about the plumbers?
Right. It's
what
a bigger conversation. Yeah.
What about the electricians?
Right.
What about all the teachers?
Yeah.
That's a big union.
Yeah.
The coal miners.
Yeah. But if we're going to do that, maybe we need to work on our trust issues so that we can tackle the issues side by side and put our heads together instead of like what's happening, which is chaos.
And the starting place is that we all need to accept what a primary source is and understand that as a society, the boogeyman is going to get you. You are going to get robbed. There's going to become a time.
Bad things will happen.
Yeah, there's going to be a time when you run out of gas. There's going to be a time when your spouse gets in a fight with you. Your significant other cheats on you. You're going to have someone that hates you. You can't spend your entire life trying to protect yourself from getting hurt. You can only move forward and with some degree of trust. And if we don't move forward with some degree of trust and start functioning and making the wheels start turning, the wheels of time are never going to catch up with AI. Wow. Imagine the wheels of time going on without us with AI. I want to be part of that. What about you? This is the Leapcast.
Find us on social media at Listen to Leap or visit listentoleap.com.